This is the Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday to you. Gorgeous day out there. I think we're supposed to have storms pretty much the rest of the weekend, on and off, but enjoy today. Rach is taking a couple of days off. She should be back on Monday. So we have Captain Andrew helming the board. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong?
King of the Pirates.
You do seem to have a sense of power when you're there.
I do, yeah. I like... You know, things are going to get done my way now.
You can
single-handedly
take KMOX off the air.
Things are going to get done. There's gonna be a
He's got his hand
different.
On his hip in a power pose. Look at this.
It'll be a little different around here now that I'm in charge.
Things are going to change now.
He's in the Captain Morgan pose.
I was just thinking about, this is my first time running the board with all the new equipment that we have, all the new mic arms and stuff, and it's weird. It's super. I'm not used
to it.
Good start.
It's weird, but
is it
powerful.
Weird that we have new stuff, or you're just not used to it?
It's just not. Everything looks a little different. Everybody's slightly in different places.
I work here. I don't even know what you mean.
Well, because you sit there. Nothing changes for you over there.
I know.
Those of us who are actually doing things
you're
during
in front
the show
of Amy. Yes. Looking her right in the eye.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if that changes the dynamic or if it's...
It does. We'll see. I feel much more confrontational when I look her right in the eye.
Amy's going to be like, hello, Mr. Andrew.
I don't know what's going on here, but with the new setup, this monitor usually blocks Rachel's face so I never see her anymore, but I can totally see Andrew. It's almost like he's spiting me somehow.
I'm going out of my way to make eye contact with Ranji while I'm in
there. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Good start.
Yeah.
Making it threatening. I like it.
Yeah. My kind of room.
Different.
He's like that.
I'm starting the show. You could never predict it, but I saw these guys today, the road crew, which, by the way, God love the road crew. Like on Highway 40, you're whizzing by. Even if you slow down, you're whizzing by at 50.
Right.
And some people don't slow down at all. I think they speed up, you know, just to scare the guys. But this guy had this shovel full of asphalt that he was using to fix potholes. And I drove by and we locked eyes, you know, and he wanted to make sure I wasn't going to run over him. But then I started thinking about asphalt. And I'm like, asphalt sure has been around for a really long time. Like, it's amazing that we're shooting rockets into space and then we land them on a barge and yet we're still using asphalt. Mm-hmm. How long do you think we've had asphalt?
I don't know. It feels like forever, but it's making me think. It might have been a Seinfeld thing. Right where he said everything is compared against putting a man on the moon now.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, you could put a man on the moon, but you can't fix the lid to this.
You can't make a good cup of coffee.
Yeah. My entire lifetime, asphalt's been around.
Oh, so much longer. Officially, it was invented exactly the way it is now in 1870.
Oh,
but it
really?
Was used in 2600 BC.
Oh.
To do what?
That's...
The same
Hold
thing
stuff
it's doing
together.
Now. Yeah, just the exact same stuff. And I know Amy doesn't like when I talk about the simulation thing, but this one just made me laugh. It seems like we're in a simulation ran by a really lazy 13-year-old boy who is just like, just keep going asphalt. Just it doesn't matter. Just asphalt's fine. Concrete's fine. Like, you know, they've got a helicopter on Mars. Like, I don't want to hear about it. Concrete and asphalt are fine.
Does asphalt
they can just
still
keep
work?
Doing all that stuff.
Yeah. When was concrete?
Asphalt never changed anything.
Modern concrete.
It's a good question. Modern concrete.
I mean, versions of it have been around for
probably
forever.
Longer than asphalt.
Right, yeah.
Modern concrete is a great band name.
It's how the aliens built the pyramids.
Yeah.
That's a. It's weird. Maybe this is a really stupid idea, but I think about this. When I was a kid, I had no concept of the reality that if you built a building, that it was going to deteriorate, or concrete deteriorates and asphalt goes away in a hurry. Mm-hmm. It's like, you put it in, and by next year, there's already a pothole.
Yeah.
It just seemed like everything that was built was permanent, and the older you get, you realize, oh my God, everything falls apart.
And doesn't it seem like the things that were built thousands of years ago were more permanent than the things we build today?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, how long ago?
I have a theory about that.
Okay.
Because the things that were built back then were not used. And like our highways are used by thousands and thousands and thousands of people every single day, and they're repeatedly that, and it's the use and the wear and tear that causes things to fall apart.
I think it's because we figured out how to build things quicker, which means that when it takes less time, you're probably not putting as much attention into it.
So we're doing
and the
minimum.
Materials aren't the same.
Probably doing the minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about speed. You're right. It is a lot more about speed than durability.
Do you guys, I would start to say, why is this? But you may not even agree that it's true. But it seems to me that at some point we stopped making beautiful things. That if you even go back 100 years, just the craftsmanship and the artistry in just homes, and not even mansions, just homes, and the way cars looked in the 50s and 60s, and you go back to the churches of the 15th, 16th, 1700s, and they're just breathtaking. And we just seem to live in boxes and drive boxes.
Well, yeah, it's because the repetition of building the next thing is how contractors and all these builders get paid.
Well, it's
not on the one project that's really beautiful. It's on, okay, we finished this one. What's the next thing?
It's also very expensive and very labor intensive to make beautiful things.
Right.
And in the mass produced society of, you know, McMansions and townhomes and condos and stuff, you just crank that with these ugly modern design sensibilities. You just crank that stuff out at a hysterical rate. Meanwhile, to build something actually beautiful that has all those beautiful flourishes, all those wonderful little details that, you know, there's churches in England where they're still finding new details that they're like, oh my gosh,
I was going to say, it could
be
religion as well, that when the people hundreds of years ago were building a house of God, they were building a house of God, right? I mean, they fully intended for God to dwell there, and so look alive. And now, I don't think that we're just throwing churches together because who cares, but, you know, there's a lot of mega churches made out of metal.
Yeah.
Another theory.
You can't tell if it's a mega church
or a Walmart.
Or an Amazon warehouse. Yeah. They look the same.
I have another theory, too, on that, though, is in the days that we're talking about, the architects, the artists, the people that were designing and building these things, it was literally all they did. It was their entire life. And they did one building. It might take their entire life to do that one church. Nobody's got time for that now.
Oh, it took 500 years, or sometimes 800
years. Right, this is what I'm saying. Like,
nobody's
doing that now because everybody has something else to do. Right? I mean, like, when you were in...
Are we any better or worse off? Like, I lament it, but maybe if we were still doing that, we would not have vaccines.
Right.
There's, like, a famous...
Our time has been put on other things for years. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like a history... You could call it a trope or maxim, but basically you can always look at a culture or a society and tell what they value most by what their biggest buildings are, which is why like the Egyptians had the pyramids. It's the middle of medieval times. The Middle Ages had these incredible Gothic churches. And with us,
castles.
We have like sports arenas and venues that are just over the top, beautiful. And
good
then
point.
Also for a while, malls like consumers.
Giant high rises.
Yeah,
that are office buildings and things. Do you get? I always wonder about these things, and I don't know that there's a good answer to it. But do you think people in 1910 thought the houses they were building were that special, or are we looking at it that way because it's unlike what we have now and it's old, and we think of those things as being classic?
Well, they weren't as plentiful then, so I think they probably
they
did.
Were.
Right, right. But like, will people in 1,000 years or 500 years look at the houses that are built now and go, "Man, that was a classic. Look at that Cape Cod. It was just..."
Not
don't make them like that anymore.
Not like the row neighborhoods or the McMansions, which is why to me I've been in a 500 square foot house in South City that has molding, beautiful molding around the windows, and then a tiny stained glass window and beautiful wood on the staircase. And that to me has so much more character than this massive house that's just bloop, bloop, bloop. Yeah. They pop them out.
Did you hear people are hating on Chris Pratt again?
Again.
For
yeah.
reasons like this.
Uh-huh. Oh, tore down a... Yeah, yeah,
yeah. There's a very famous home. I don't know the name of it, but it's a very famous home that has been preserved. And he and his wife bought it for $15 million or $20 million and tore it down. And they're building like a McMansion. And I've never seen a nicer guy who people just want dead. Like, they just hate Chris Pratt.
Well, I mean, if people want to preserve it, then they should be the ones buying it.
Well, you're asking for trouble there. I mean, that was like a famous designer from the 50s.
I mean, architect, but it's for sale. Yeah. And when somebody can buy something, they can do what they want with it.
Oh, Mr. Libertarian.
No, I'm serious. Like, somebody at some point, if it's that big of a deal, should have had it classified as a historic site.
I think there was an attempt to do that, right?
If I'm not mistaken,
I read the story once. I don't remember all of it, but I think that they were trying to, because it's one of those like 60s, 50s flat
roof
kind of.
Would it be like tearing down a Frank Lloyd Wright?
Yeah,
kind of.
Very
similar.
Exactly.
Was it habitable or did it need a ton of work?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Good?
It looked like it was
house,
nice. Yeah.
Just not what they wanted. Everyone's upset with wheels.
If you love it so much, you should have bought it yourself.
I'm just saying, like, there are steps to take that can protect things that need protecting. And if you're late to the party, well, that's still on you.
Well, and also, I will say this. If it was valuable to the state, I'm surprised they didn't do anything, because there are a lot of historic homes that are preserved by state law.
Right.
You know, and they have, like, there are some homes around this area, probably Central West End and Clayton, that have, like, the plaque on the front door.
Yep.
And I think you're not allowed to knock them down.
Yeah.
Without getting permission.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not that I'm like, oh, good, ruin the cool house. It's not that. It's just we have procedures and steps in place, and none of them were clearly taken. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened.
Look how much ground we've covered. The history of asphalt.
Yeah.
By the way, concrete, 6,500 years ago.
Wow.
No, Syria. 65. No, it is 6,500. Sorry.
Yep.
I know, 65,000.
Andrew's like a sniper in a clock tower. He's looking for trouble.
A little too much power over there.
Yeah.
Pirate King, what'd I tell you?
He did. I've never seen him with so much swagger as he has right now.
You're right.
It's this red light on the mic arm. I'm like a bull. I'm getting agitated by it.
I don't believe you have the right temperament for this amount of
power.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We'll know by the end of the day.
I guess we'll have to. Might have to turn up the heat on old Chris Ryan here.
He thinks he's got executive immunity over here.
Yeah.
Whatever I do while I'm running the board is legal under my official duties as a board op for KMOX.
He's like David Schwimmer's character on Band of Brothers.
Kurahi!
DGS. We're just discussing, it's kind of a thing on TikTok, the things that movies get wrong. And the first thing that Wheeler brought up was like fist fights and the way they look and the way they sound. And this actually happened to me when I had my first fist fight. I think at the age of 8, over who would win a fight between Ultraman and Giant Robot.
And, Ultraman.
Ultraman and I both lost. But I remember preparing myself for the fight. It would happen literally in an alley. And I knew that we would each hit each other at least 30 times. And it would be like, you know? And then when we actually started fighting, we both were crying and just throwing haymakers at each other.
Missing a lot of
and
them.
Missing
yeah.
a lot.
Everybody's
then
got
being
a plan.
Friends like 2 minutes later and being like, I don't know, Ultraman might have been Johnny Sacco.
Why are we even doing this?
Yeah.
But I was ready for it. I was ready to be like John Wayne in The Quiet Man, you know, like this will carry
just
over into the house.
Squared up like the old timey brawlers where they're like, come here, buddy.
Speaking of things that don't seem like they're the way they are. I was watching Trump today work a crowd, and I've noticed this one Secret Service guy. He's an older guy, probably in his 50s, couldn't look more like a Secret Service guy. And I've known a couple of these guys over the years, and if you watch them, they scan the crowd back and forth constantly. And I'm just fascinated by that because they seem superhuman, but they're not. Mm-hmm. They're human. You can only focus for so long. So you know that while you have the president's life in your hands, at some point as you're scanning, you're probably thinking like, I think I need Tide Pods. Or I wonder if Joni really loved Chachi.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know he's thinking about...
Because it's the monotony.
Oh.
Because, like, things happen, but I mean, people aren't attacking the president every day. So you're standing there, or you're sitting outside the president's room, sitting outside, you know, the door if he's in an office, or if you are, if you've cleared, like when the president threw the first pitch here before the All-Star game, you had to clear all of Busch Stadium. So you have all these Secret Service agents in front of every suite, every room, just making sure nobody goes in there. That is boring.
How do you think the Kingsguard feels?
Oh, my God.
Oh, worst job ever.
Has to be.
Worst job ever.
People messing with you all the time?
Yeah, that's all they do. They just screw with you.
It should be allowed to hit people to do that. What, you guys ever done that?
What's that?
Been the guards for the king?
No, messed with the guys. Have you guys ever gone over there?
Every time I go to London, no.
Been to London?
Yeah. Everybody else is more traveled than I am.
I've been to London. And
you've been to London?
No, I haven't been past Wildwood.
You could go screw with the guards there.
That's the other direction.
Yeah. Wildwood might as well be California. It is so far.
Everything I've seen of the guards on TikTok, I wouldn't even take a picture with them. I would just be too afraid of. Leave them alone.
What's the training for that? There's got to be training to ignore
people. Stand there and let
people
throw things at you.
So what is it? What do they do for the King's Guard to train them for people coming up to them and
tickle them?
Yeah, like what is it?
They probably have a dot on the wall and they're like, stare at this dot. And then they do all sorts of stuff.
Ignore everything else.
It's kind of like Jason Bourne training.
You know what, though? It's so easy to look around and be disappointed in your fellow man. Just watch a couple of those TikToks.
Oh. Yeah.
Watch what people do and how they screw with the guards and the horses. And like, what? Did you hear? I don't know where this happened, but it happened again that a couple of Yahoos shoved some like multi-million year old rocks.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know
what
I'm talking
about?
Was it
in Arizona or Grand Canyon? Yes,
To me, 10, 20 years in prison. I'm not even kidding.
No.
Like, we don't need you walking among us.
That's the kind of crime that can be deterred.
Yeah.
Right? There are some, you know, maybe, all right, person's crazy, heat of the moment, whatever. That one right there, you can deter people from that if they're like, what, 10 years for me doing this? No way.
Did they find them? Because I know they were looking for them. There was video of them doing it. And I know as of like a week or two ago, they were looking for them. But
yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just, and you think about it, it's like, it's just rocks. But also, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like you tripped over something and you had no idea how valuable it was.
Right. There's no purpose to it other than to be a jerk.
That's right. I also have no morning show. I realize I have no morning show, like on television. I will try to watch Fox and Friends, even though my friend Brian Kilmeade's on it, but I can't because it's always a country band singing their new hit, Jesus Loves Fake Electors, some crap like that. And then I switch to CNN, and they're just weeping about Trump, and it's like, God, pull yourself together, people.
Do you know what bothers me about the CNN show? And I will have that on sometimes as I'm getting ready. It's weird saying this because it's pretty much what Amy and I do, but they're too giggly with each other. It's like they've been told, it's like they've been told, hey, be cute when you're bantering, you know, more than you would see on a nightly news, evening news, local news show. Mm-hmm. It's like, you don't be funny.
Isn't
I don't need you to be funny.
That ended? The CNN morning show is over.
That one was insufferable.
I don't know what that one was. Lemon?
The one where they were flirting constantly. Like the decent looking guy and Poppy Harlow were both just like me. Now I know what you mean. And I mostly hate when they walk off. They're doing this thing now where it's like, and I'm Sarah Seidner and we'll be right back. And then they walk, where are you going? You're not going anywhere.
Yeah. It looks cool.
When we know you're not going anywhere. And if you're going somewhere, what's so friggin' important? It's 1:34 DGS. We have Chet Pleben coming up at 2:30 to update us on what's going on with Donald Trump's case and the Supreme Court. Matt Pauley's going to join us later on. Wheels is going to interview Steve Vai, the guitar hero, at 3 p.m., so it should be a fun show. You guys want to talk nothing or you want to talk something?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Something serious.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to tell you guys I have a heart failure or something, but I mean, it's like, we'll leave it for later. We'll do Let's do halfway. You said you and Nick had an interesting conversation yesterday at the ball game.
Yeah, so we're obviously Nick's a huge baseball fan, and we're just talking about, you know, what's not so much what's wrong with the team, because we know what's wrong with the team now, but like, how did it get here? Like, how did we reach this place? And we were talking about how, like, the what the fan perceptions are amongst people, and you know, the idea that they don't spend enough. And I'm like, well, and as we were going through it, I'm like, well, okay, but they're a top 10 payroll, top 11.
So you wheelered him.
And no, we were talking. Yeah. It wasn't a lecture. It was a back and forth. But it was like, okay, so the payroll, why is that even a question? Because Bernie Miklas wrote about this the other day. The Cardinals spend way more than the Brewers. Why are the Brewers always better? They spend more than Tampa Bay. Why is Tampa Bay good every year?
Excellent question.
Like, these are things. It's not about the money. It's about the decisions. It's about scouting and development, and you know how you're developing players. And then a lot of fans, I'm sure you've gotten this, Ranj, is or at least heard it, the DeWitts don't care, or the ownership doesn't care. Like, no, they care, because the better they are, the more tickets they sell, and the more tickets they sell, the more money they make. So even if you think they're all about the money, winning makes more money.
Yeah. They're not looking
right.
So be mediocre.
Even if you think, and I do have been, you know, I have had enough conversations. I don't know Bill DeWitt Jr. It's not like I text him like, hey, Bill, how you doing? But I mean, I've talked to him enough over the years. I know that he cares, and I know that the front office cares. So how did it get this way?
Mm-hmm.
And the description I would go, if you follow the history, is they had a long run of success. And I think it comes down to maybe more stubbornness than it is anything else. You had success doing things a certain way for a very long time and were hesitant to change any of those things. And now you're behind because you didn't, and you're constantly playing catch up, right? So for years, the Cardinals would develop a new starting pitcher every year or two. They'd have a new guy, right? Lance Lynn in 2006. And not long after that, it's guys like Carlos Martinez and Michael Wacha and Shelby Miller. And eventually you get to Jack Flaherty, and it stops at Jack Flaherty. Well, that was 6 years ago. 7 years ago, and you had to make other decisions on trading guys like Sandy Alcantara, who won a Cy Young, Zach Gallen, who was in the Cy Young. Did he win the Cy Young last year? Zach Gallen?
I thought he did.
Yeah. I mean, so like, you've traded away guys because you had to chase offense, because for the longest time, they couldn't develop a hitter. They went from Albert Pujols to Oscar Tavares without developing a star caliber hitter, which was like, what, a 10, 11, 12 year run. And then you had to start making up for that. So what happened was, at least to me, is you can call it a failure, you can call it a bad choice, you could call it a mistake, but the inability to adapt on the fly and take what you were doing well and alter it as you went has put you in a spot where you're chasing.
Can I say something? How many titles have we won? How many World Series?
11, yeah. You know how many franchises have that many?
Right. And so what I'm thinking, and look, I can bitch and moan with the best of them, but what I'm thinking is everything you're saying has merit. It's not alchemy. It's not magic.
No.
You can look at it, and you can look at coaching, and you can look at players. You can look at scouting. However, one thing that people rarely say is what I'm about to say. It's also impossibly hard to put together a winning team in the MLB when everyone else is just as talented as you and maybe spending more money. And when a storied franchise like the Cardinals, I'm not saying only has 11, like that sucks, because I think we're number two. But
yeah, the Yankees have more.
But we've only won 11 in over 100 years.
Right.
So what we're trying to do
right.
is really, really difficult.
Yes.
And we should keep that in mind. It's like that Louis C.K. bit where he was on a talking to a guy and he couldn't get a cell signal. And he's like, give it a minute. It has to go to space.
Yeah.
You know, like, sometimes we just forget, like, why don't we win the pennant every year? How hard can it be?
Yeah.
Really, really hard.
Yeah. And, so, and you know, we're not tossing it always. At least the expectation shouldn't always be about a title. You can be better than what you've been. That's a fair point. But yeah, the expectation of titles is minimal. I mean, you're going to win one for the Cardinals, the second most championships in the history of the sport. You average one every 11 to 12 years, historically.
Here's where the issue is for people. And I get it. It's not necessarily about spending more money. And right now their payroll's 12 out of 30. So they are above the, you know, the halfway. They're better than average.
They're about in what terms their revenue size says they should be.
They're in terms of spending, they're about there. what it's about is if you're not doing the things right that you're talking about, the drafting, the developing, the whatever else, you can't, what people want them to do is not take potential avenues off the table for them to get good. And what they don't like to do is sign free agents to long-term deals because they're afraid they don't work out, which, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
They signed Dexter Fowler to a fairly, what, 4 or 5 years, right? It wasn't a ton of money, but he was they will be willing to overextend themselves for a mid-range player like Fowler, but when it comes to Bryce Harper, don't even try. And I think that's what people have a problem with, is if you're not going to draft the next Bryce Harper, then you at least should be in the conversation for signing Bryce Harper.
Right, but that guy's Nolan Arenado. Nolan Arenado is a Hall of Famer. You just traded for a guy with a $30 million-plus year.
But he's also not... He's older.
He's not much older. They're close, those two guys. I mean, they're a year or two difference. I mean... And
you're trying to catch the Dodgers, Kevin. You're not trying to catch...
Don't disagree.
You're not trying to catch the Brewers.
I'm just saying that
That's the issue.
What used to work doesn't work anymore because you're not doing things the way everyone else is doing them. You used to develop pitchers every year, so you didn't need to go out and spend on what you did with like Lance Lynn or Miles Michaelis because you would have a young gun who was ready to step in that was good.
Right, so if you don't have that, you better be willing to spend to get
it. That's the point, right. And so that's how you get to that spot. But there's only so many deals you can sign because sooner or later you're gonna you're getting some of them wrong. Like you're not gonna hit on all of them. They almost got a deal done with Stanton. If Giancarlo Stanton hadn't turned down a deal, you'd be stuck with that right now.
Seemed to be a lot of people that we had and got rid of who become great, or people we pass on who become great. Do we do that with any greater frequency than any other team?
You know what? For a long time, that's a new development.
Yes.
That's like a last 5 years development.
Yeah, a little more, but you're right.
Zach Gallen, Aroldis Garcia, Rosarena.
Used to make the right choices on guys. Yeah.
When they would trade.
And the reality is, like, the only guys they quote-unquote screwed up on were Garcia and Rosarena. Because, like, the pitchers,
Gallen.
But they traded him for a left fielder who hit 30 home runs. They didn't just give up on him. It wasn't like, we don't think this guy's going to be good, which is what it was with Adolis Garcia. It was, well, we put him on waivers, and he cleared waivers. Every team passed on him, but they still gave up on him. They didn't give up on Alcantara and Gallen. They said, we need a middle-of-the-order outfielder. Marcelo Ozuna is available. This is the cost. But
And he wasn't good here.
No, and what I'd be curious to know is, did you say we're going to trade these two guys, but we want to keep Flaherty or we want to keep another guy? And those guys clearly became better than the guys you kept. I don't know how that worked.
Let me ask all three of you a question since you've all done sports and you've all done call-in shows and such. I have never done any of them, but I listen to you guys have conversations and it sounds like the citizenry, the fans have changed, that they're more aggressive now and they're less patient. Is that just because I'm paying attention, or has it been like that since you guys have been doing it for 20, 30 years?
Well, I did it for a market where they are much angrier.
Yeah.
So it's a little
different.
It just
seems like a whole bunch of nothing.
And they have an owner who, by the way, has allegedly said in the past that his desire is to just be competitive enough to keep people coming to the ballpark.
Yeah, that's
and it's not. No, that's Jerry Reinsdorf.
Oh, Reinsdorf, right.
Yeah.
Well, you have the whole thing too, because like they're angry about the Bears all the time, and either the Blackhawks or
Sox fans are the angriest of everybody.
Yes, they are.
Well,
with good
because
reason.
Their ownership is lousy.
Yeah.
Quite frankly,
yes.
Yeah, and the Cardinals fans haven't had the chance to be angry like this for a while, and I think Cardinals fans and their reaction is actually a little bit late to the party because we were living on 2004, 2006, 2011. I know they lost in 04, but they went there. Even 2012, they were good. And so in our heads, we're like, we're the Cardinals. We're good. We're always competitive. And like, oh, that was a bad year. That was weird. We're good. Oh, that was a bad year. That was weird. And then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, we're terrible and we've been bad for a decade now. Like, that's how it...
Right.
That's
well, that's
unusual.
How it feels. They haven't been bad for a decade. They just haven't won a championship because like last year was legit bad.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, they weren't like legit bad years. They were like just missed the playoffs or made the playoffs and lost. And that's frustrating because those things you're talking about, if you did a little more, you could have advanced. But I think that there's, in this case, it's a generational thing. I think if you talk to Cardinals fans that are 45 and older, they have more perspective because they witnessed the 90s.
I know a couple older cranky Cardinals fans.
A few, but I mean, I see it is, Kevin. But the social media ones, if you're 40, You spent your entire life from high school until now never seeing them be bad.
Yeah, I was young, but I lived through the 70s.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Some
but
of
also,
it is.
Well, I was going to say this too. They're bad, but also there's not a lot of hope on the horizon. That's what's hitting Cardinals fans is we don't see out of the tunnel right now.
And maybe another element is that bothers some people, and it's not everybody. It's the idea. It's the philosophy seems to be, well, just get into the playoffs and anything can happen, which is true.
Dump and chase.
But that's not how you really want to live if you're really trying to win. You don't want to leave it up to chance. You want to remove as much. Look, there's always going to be uncertainty, but you want to remove as much of it as possible when you're going into a playoff and not just say, ah, all we got to do is be a wild card and we have a chance.
It does seem like the last few years, just speaking personally, the last few years I've always felt like we're the underdog. And I always wonder why we're the underdog. Like, we're the Cardinals. Why aren't we the powerhouse?
I mean, part of it is how things cycle, right? I mean, ask any Cardinals fan if they could even comprehend what it's like to be a White Sox fan.
Well, that team is
bad. I mean, I grew up a Detroit fan. They've been bad for a decade. I mean, not bad. Like, picking first in the draft bad for a decade, and that's not even that bad compared to some other ones.
And how about this? Imagine being a Sox fan. Your team has 3 wins all year, and your owner went to the state of Illinois and said, I want $1.5 billion for a new stadium. Can you do that for me?
Yeah.
Oh, I might have to move.
I mean, imagine you're a Cubs fan, and
.134 DGS. We have Chet Pleban coming up at 2:30 to update us on what's going on with Donald Trump's case and the Supreme Court. Matt Pauly is going to join us later on. Wheels is going to interview Steve Vai, the guitar hero, at 3 p.m. So it should be a fun show. You guys want to talk nothing? Or you want to talk something?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Something serious.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh no.
Well, I mean, it, you know, I'm not going to tell you guys I have a heart failure or something, but I mean, it's like, we'll leave it for later. Let's do halfway. You said you and Nick had an interesting conversation yesterday at the ball game.
Yeah, so we're obviously Nick's a huge baseball fan, and we're just talking about, you know, what's not so much what's wrong with the team, because we know what's wrong with the team now, but like, how did it get here? Like, how did we reach this place? And we were talking about how like what the fan perceptions are amongst people, and you know, the idea that they don't spend enough. And I'm like, well, and as we were going through it, I'm like, well, okay, but they're a top 10 payroll, top 11.
So you wheelered him.
And no, we were talking. Yeah. It wasn't a lecture. It was a back and forth. But it was like, okay, but the payroll, why is that even a question? Because Bernie Miklas wrote about this the other day. The Cardinals spend way more than the Brewers. Why are the Brewers always better? They spend more than Tampa Bay. Why is Tampa Bay good every year?
Excellent question.
Like, these are things. It's not about the money. It's about the decisions. It's about scouting and development and, you know, how you're developing players. And then a lot of fans, I'm sure you've gotten this, Ronj, or at least heard it, the DeWitts don't care, or the ownership doesn't care. Like, no, they care, because the better they are, the more tickets they sell, and the more tickets they sell, the more money they make. So even if you think they're all about the money, winning makes more money.
Yeah. They're not looking to mediocre.
Even if you think, and I do happen, you know, I have had enough conversations. I don't know Bill DeWitt Jr. It's not like I text him like, hey, Bill, how you doing? But I mean, I've talked to him enough over the years. I know that he cares, and I know that the front office cares. So how did it get this way?
Mm-hmm.
And the description I would go, if you follow the history, is they had a long run of success. And I think it comes down to maybe more stubbornness than it is anything else. You had success doing things a certain way for a very long time and were hesitant to change any of those things. And now you're behind because you didn't, and you're constantly playing catch up, right? So for years, the Cardinals would develop a new starting pitcher every year or two. They'd have a new guy, right? Lance Lynn in 2006. And not long after that, it's guys like Carlos Martinez and Michael Wacha and Shelby Miller. And eventually you get to Jack Flaherty, and it stops at Jack Flaherty. Well, that was 6 years ago. 7 years ago, and you had to make other decisions on trading guys like Sandy Alcantara, who won a Cy Young, Zach Gallen, who was in the Cy Young. Did he win the Cy Young last year? Zach Gallen?
I thought he did.
Yeah. I mean, so like, you've traded away guys because you had to chase offense, because for the longest time, they couldn't develop a hitter. They went from Albert Pujols to Oscar Tavares without developing a star caliber hitter, which was like, what, a 10, 11, 12 year run. And then you had to start making up for that. So what happened was, at least to me, is you could call it a failure. You can call it bad choice. You could call it a mistake. But the inability to adapt on the fly and take what you were doing well and alter it as you went.
Yeah.
Has put you in a spot where you're chasing.
Can I say something? How many titles have we won? How many World Series?
11, yeah. You know how many franchises have that many?
Right. And so what I'm thinking, and look, I can bitch and moan with the best of them, but what I'm thinking is everything you're saying has merit. It's not alchemy. It's not magic.
No.
You can look at it, and you can look at coaching, and you can look at players. You can look at scouting. However, one thing that people rarely say is what I'm about to say. It's also impossibly hard to put together a winning team in the MLB when everyone else is just as talented as you and maybe spending more money. And when a storied franchise like the Cardinals, I'm not saying only has 11, like that sucks, because I think we're number two. But
yeah, the Yankees have more.
But we've only won 11 in over 100 years.
Right.
So what we're trying to do
right.
is really, really difficult.
Yes.
And we should keep that in mind. It's like that Louis C.K. bit where he was on talking to a guy and he couldn't get a cell signal. And he's like, give it a minute. It has to go to space.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes we just forget, like, why don't we win the pennant every year? How hard can it be?
Yeah.
Really, really hard.
Yeah. And, so, and you know, we're not tossing it always, at least the expectation shouldn't always be about a title. You can be better than what you've been. That's a fair point. But yeah, the expectation of titles is it's minimal. I mean, you're going to win one for the Cardinals, the second most championships in the history of the sport. You average one every 11 to 12 years, historically.
Here's where the issue is for people. And I get it. It's not necessarily about spending more money. And right now their payroll's 12 out of 30. So they are above the, you know, the halfway. They're better than average.
They're about in terms what their of, revenue size says they should be.
They're in terms of spending, they're about there. What it's about is if you're not doing the things right that you're talking about, the drafting, the developing, the whatever else, you can't, what people want them to do is not take potential avenues off the table for them to get good. And what they don't like to do is sign free agents to long-term deals because they're afraid they don't work out, which, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
They signed Dexter Fowler to a fairly, what, 4 or 5 years, right? It wasn't a ton of money, but he was they will be willing to overextend themselves for a mid-range player like Fowler, but when it comes to Bryce Harper, don't even try. And I think that's what people have a problem with is if you're not going to draft the next Bryce Harper, then you at least should be in the conversation for signing Bryce Harper.
Right, but that guy's Nolan Arenado. Nolan Arenado is a Hall of Famer. Sure, you just traded for a guy with a $30 million plus year.
But he's also not, he's older.
He's not much older. They're close, those two guys. I mean, they're a year or two difference. I mean, And
you're trying to catch the Dodgers, Kevin. You're not trying to catch.
Don't disagree.
You're not trying to catch the Brewers.
I'm just saying that
that's the issue.
What used to work doesn't work anymore because you're not doing things the way everyone else is doing them. You used to develop pitchers every year, so you didn't need to go out and spend on what you did with like Lance Lynn or Miles Michaelis because you would have a young gun who was ready to step in that was good.
Right. So if you don't have that, you better be willing to spend to get
it. That's the point, right? And that's how you get to that spot. But there's only so many deals you can sign because sooner or later you're getting some of them wrong. Like you're not gonna hit on all of them. They almost got a deal done with Stanton. If Giancarlo Stanton hadn't turned down a deal, you'd be stuck with that right now.
Seem to be a lot of people that we had and got rid of who become great, or people we pass on who become great. Do we do that with any greater frequency than any other team?
You know what? For a long time, that's a new development.
Yes.
That's like a last 5 years development.
Yeah, a little more, but you're right.
Zach Gallen, Aroldis Garcia, Rosarena.
Used to make the right choices on guys. Yeah.
When they would trade.
And the reality is, like, the only guys they quote-unquote screwed up on were Garcia and Rosarena. Because, like, the pitchers,
Gallen.
But they traded him for a left fielder who hit 30 home runs. They didn't just give up on him. It wasn't like, we don't think this guy's going to be good, which is what it was with Adolis Garcia. It was, well, we put him on waivers, and he cleared waivers. Every team passed on him, but they still gave up on him. They didn't give up on Alcantara and Gallen. They said,
we need a middle of the order outfielder. Marcell Ozuna is available. This is the cost. But
and he wasn't good here.
But no, and what I'd be curious to know is, did you say we're going to trade these two guys, but we want to keep Flaherty or we want to keep another guy? And those guys clearly became better than the guys you kept. I don't know how that worked.
Let me ask all three of you a question, since you've all done sports and you've all done call-in shows and such. I have never done any of them, but I listen to you guys have conversations, and it sounds like the citizenry, the fans have changed, that they're more aggressive now and they're less patient. Is that just because I'm paying attention, or has it been like that since you guys have been doing it for 20, 30 years?
Well, I did it for a market where they are much angrier.
Yeah.
So it's a little
different. It seems like a whole bunch of nothing.
And they have an owner who, by the way, has allegedly said in the past that his desire is to just be competitive enough to keep people coming to the ballpark.
Yeah, that's
and
the
Cubs. No, that's Jerry Reinsdorf.
Oh, Reinsdorf, right.
Yeah.
Well, you have the whole thing, too, because like they're angry about the Bears all the time, and either the Blackhawks or, I mean, like,
Sox fans are the angriest of everybody.
Yes, they are.
Well,
with good
because
reason.
Their ownership is lousy, quite frankly.
Yes.
Yeah, and the Cardinals fans haven't had the chance to be angry like this for a while, and I think Cardinals fans and their reaction is actually a little bit late to the party, because we were living on 2004, 2006, 2011. I know they lost in 04, but they went there. Even 2012, they were good. And so in our heads, we're like, we're the Cardinals. We're good. We're always competitive. Like, oh, that was a bad year. That was weird. We're good. Oh, that was a bad year. That was weird. And then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, we were terrible and we've been bad for a decade now. Like, that's how it.
Right.
That's unusual.
That's how it feels. They haven't been bad for a decade. They just haven't won a championship because, like, last year was legit bad. Before that, they weren't like legit bad years. They were like just missed the playoffs or made the playoffs and lost. And that's frustrating, because those things you're talking about, if you did a little more, you could have advanced. But I think that there's, in this case, it's a generational thing. I think if you talk to Cardinals fans that are 45 and older, they have more perspective because they witnessed the 90s.
I know a couple older cranky Cardinals fans.
A few, but the social media ones, if you're 40, you spent your entire life from high school until now never seeing them be bad.
Yeah, I was young, but I lived through the 70s.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Some of it is.
Well, I'll say this, too. They're bad, but also there's not a lot of hope on the horizon. That's what's hitting Cardinals fans, is we don't see out of the tunnel right now.
And maybe another element is that bothers some people, and it's not everybody. It's the idea. It's the philosophy seems to be, well, just get into the playoffs and anything can happen, which is true.
Dump and chase.
But that's not how you really want to live if you're really trying to win. You don't want to leave it up to chance. You want to remove as much. Look, there's always going to be uncertainty, but you want to remove as much of it as possible when you're going into a playoff and not just say, all we got to do is be a wild card and we have a chance.
It does seem like the last few years, just speaking personally, the last few years, I've always felt like we're the underdog. And I always wonder why we're the underdog. Like, we're the Cardinals. Why aren't we the powerhouse?
I mean, part of it is how things cycle, right? I mean, ask any Cardinals fan if they could even comprehend what it's like to be a White Sox fan.
Well, that team is
bad. I grew up a Detroit fan. They've been bad for a decade. I mean, not bad. Like, picking first in the draft bad for a decade, and that's not even that bad compared to some other ones.
And how about this? Imagine being a Sox fan. Your team has 3 wins all year, and your owner went to the state of Illinois and said, I want $1.5 billion for a new stadium. Can you do that for me?
Yeah.
Oh, I might have to move.
I mean, imagine you're a Cubs fan, and 100 years before you win a title, you win one, and then poof, everybody's gone, and you're back to bare bones and trying to start all over again.
Yeah.
None of this is defending any of the things the Cardinals have done wrong, because clearly they have made mistakes in how they draft and develop players and how they acquire players that have put them in this position. They put themselves there. They're not victims of something.
Amy, are the Blues comparable to the Cardinals in that way?
No, we had a history of losing, and so our whole history.
Not winning championships. I mean, they had 25 years of making the playoffs in a row.
Right, but we never expected a Stanley Cup. Like, we used to say, when I die, I want the Blues to lower me into my grave so they can let me down one last time. Like, one of those things. and yes, they were always competitive, but we identified as we're going to get to the first or second round, and then we're going to fail. But I think now that we've tasted success, now that they've had a drink from the Stanley Cup, they know what it takes. I think the bar has been raised, and that's why there is more frustration since 2019, because we tasted it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we get it now. Like, well, wait a minute. Just getting to the playoffs isn't enough.
DGS. So as you guys know, my mom is in a rehab facility and will be heading to a permanent place here in a couple of weeks. And every day I go in and I see her, and they have their lunch menu, their breakfast menu, their dinner menu. And it takes me back to grade school. And do you remember, well, maybe in, was it first grade that you got taken out because you're too popular and social?
Yeah.
Yeah, there
How
you go.
How did you remember that?
I remember all things, Amy.
Wow.
For the rest of us, you lived and died by what was for lunch, right? And they would publish it in the paper.
Yes, sir.
In the Alton Telegraph.
In the newspaper?
Yes. And like on Sunday night, you'd look through and you'd go like, oh, chili con carne on Tuesday, but tuna bumsteads on Wednesday. Rock on.
It was because it was like a big deal to parents, I guess, that kids not have like...
Like a
sandwich at lunch and then a sandwich at home that night. So they would want to like plan their meals around.
What was Granite City lunches like?
Pizza, hot dogs. That's pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
Did you live at the ballpark or something?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we used to, when I was real little, they would, get the hot dogs and
they lived at the gas station.
Microwave them. Or boil them. You
have
boiled hot dogs?
Open?
Yeah.
The split open hot dogs?
I only had boiled hot dogs until I was in high school. Yeah.
The grilled hot dog is.
Oh, yeah. Slice it down the middle.
A microwave hot dog. Is that bad?
Oh, no. I don't. I don't mind them.
I do love how they call boiled hot dogs steamed because it sounds better.
Yeah.
Steamed hot dog. Oh, okay.
Dude,
it's in water.
When I worked at
poached hot dogs.
When I worked at Lash's Farm, which was a mile from my house, and every day we would come home, me and three of my buddies, and my mom, it was probably her happiest time, she would make us all lunch. And she just loved it. All, the boys were coming home. We were going to have lunch. And here's what we would have for lunch. We would have a hot dog sandwich made with two pieces of bread and four hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You just line them up. Four hot dogs on two. That's a hot dog sandwich.
Wow.
And then we would each eat a frozen pizza.
Mm. Dude. That's a lot of lunch.
That's a lot of lunch.
And skinny as a rail.
Yeah.
At an 18 pack.
Did you guys have
abs on my back?
Dave, those are called ribs.
Remember when you're in school, like high school, and they have the rectangular shaped pizza slices?
Hell yeah.
Man, I miss that pizza. That
you
was
can
the
still
best.
Get it.
Where?
It's out there. The company that makes it will send you frozen ones.
I honestly, I need to taste one because it's been, 20-something years. I can't remember how long.
You can also
I love those.
You remember there were like the German Club and Poor Kids were always selling chocolate bars at school? You can get those as well. The kind that came in the gold foil that you could then put on your desk. Remember that? You'd rub it on your desk. It was like gold leaf.
Yes.
for
That's
Hoosiers.
The best.
You can get
for Hoosiers.
That company is local.
Oh, what is the company?
I'll find out.
I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, I don't know the name of it, but yeah, you can get those.
Do the kids still sell those? I mean, I was little. Those giant coupon books? Remember those?
Entertainment books.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
I don't know.
Like,
probably not.
I loved those because I was in my early 20s and super poor. Oh, I used the hell out of those.
Those are the best,
really?
Man.
Two for one deals all the time.
Absolutely.
But things in the back.